Well, it's wonderful to have you guys here. Is everybody awake? Anybody have to go to the airport early this morning? I did. I just am not a morning person. I don't know. I don't get it, but it's the way it seems to be. But Catherine got off this morning, and she's probably pretty close to Denver right now. And Steffi left. We took Steffi down on Tuesday. So she's been going crazy with the sorority rush stuff. Sleepless nights, apparently. And I guess Catherine's going to be doing that this next week with her sorority. They kind of dread this week, the first week back, because it's so hard because of the sorority work. Then after that, everything calms down. So now we just have Michelle and Jeremy to contend with for the next year. And we'll see how that goes. No. It was funny when the girls came home in May. Believe it or not, it's been 3 months. I just can't believe that much time has passed. But I had to have a meeting with them, and I said, look, you know, we got our family here. You know, you guys are like external in a sense, and you're bringing your things back into this house, but that's not the way our family works. And so we had to have a powwow after about 2 weeks of really trying to deal with it. And then, because I told him, I says, these two squirts live here now, and they're really our immediate family, so everything really needs to be tailored to them. And they understood. Yeah, then she disappeared. All she did was work 24 hours a day. But Jeremy was home. Well, that's right. He got a job, too. That opened up a little bit later. But we had a good summer. It was interesting adjusting. Now we've got to readjust. And I got really nervous when Lynn mentioned the holiday party. It's like, oh. That look was for me and for Jaylene, okay? She gives that same look. So anyway, a lot of things coming up. School's starting again, and maybe y'all are starting classes. I don't know. I know Jaylene said she is. And just a lot of adventures, a lot of goals. Things can settle down now a little bit for the next month and a half before they blow up again with the holidays. So if you want to get anything accomplished, that's probably a good time to do it. Find a new job, make some more money, give the word to somebody, you know, whatever suits your fancy. I need you guys to tell me something, though. I need you to tell me who you are and how you feel today. I am, okay? I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Thank you. Thank you. My kids reprimand me when I don't do the right hand motions. Dad, it's E, yo tengo. Okay, el favor. Oh, yes, I felt it. Well, take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 16. I'd like us to take a moment to reflect on biblical Christian examples, touchstones, if you will, of the Christian life and service. God made sure that we knew a few of these people, and we're going to meet up with them when Jesus Christ comes back. But in Romans chapter 16, and in verse 1, we read, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Now, Phoebe apparently was the one that brought the book of Romans to Rome after Paul wrote it. In Chinchera, which is at Chinchera. That's where she was. That you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. So she was a very remarkable woman and completely trusted by God, especially if she was the one that brought the book of Romans after Paul wrote it down to the believers in Rome. Pretty neat. Now, this Chinchera, whatever you say it, it's an island south of Asia. And if you know where Italy is, you would just go east, and then you hit Greece, Mesopotamia, Macedonia, and south of there is where this island is. So there's a lot of water in between there and Italy. And so she had to come all the way over to Rome, and that was quite a trip, actually, because Rome was all the way up the western side of Italy. I don't know how much y'all know about geography over there. My kids know all that stuff. Just kidding. I get the geography speech every once in a while. Why do I have to learn this stuff? I don't even care about it. Okay. Anyway, it's up there, so they had to go this way to get there, and it was quite a trip. Who knows how long it took, but she had to protect that and keep that document safe so that the believers could then use it, get it, copy it, distribute it once it got to Rome. And so she was mentioned here in chapter 16. Then, in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now, Aquila and Priscilla were pretty famous in the Bible, and they were obviously made mention here, and Paul said, for my life laid down their own necks. So they stuck their own necks out, in other words, protected him at the risk of their own lives. In some of the things that they did. Well, I wanted to use that as a springboard. So we'll come back to that. But if you'll turn to Acts chapter 18, we can learn just a little bit more about Aquila and Priscilla. Like I said, these people are touchstones. Now, I know you have your 8-to-5. You raise your kids, you take care of your daily administration, whatever it is. But you also have your Christian service part of life. And it might be this much of your life, and it might be this much. You're the one that chooses that. Well, these touchstones in the Word provide us a way to stay in touch with that lifestyle, the Christian service lifestyle. Quite honestly, if you don't spend time in the Word, you miss it. You don't really get to see it. You don't get to feel it. You don't empathize with it. And it really struggles to become a part of your life. It sometimes might even seem just out of grasp, the Christian service lifestyle. Well, these people can teach us a lot. In Acts chapter 18, verse 1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy. So he had gone the other way. Remember, Rome is in Italy. So he would have had to come from Italy all the way over south of Greece. It's quite a journey to get there. With his wife Priscilla, and came unto them. I skipped the parentheses. But Paul came unto Aquila and Priscilla. He sought him out. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and worked. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. Now, they weren't really tent makers. Weren't they saddle makers or something like that? Saddle makers. Yeah. I didn't take time to re-study that, but I do remember that. Uh-huh. They made saddles. And, you know, again, just touch this, reflect into this a little bit. Paul, the Apostle Paul, the big Paul, made saddles. He worked. But wasn't he the guy that was just all over Asia in 2 years? All of Asia Minor in 2 years and 3 months? But he worked. He had to work and make money. Now, he was given abundant sharing when it was available, but he also worked. And that's pretty much our lifestyle. Like, if you're, like, for instance, me, I work, and then I also do the ministry stuff. That's just the way it is, okay? I know that some of the apostles in Rome, they stopped serving tables, and then they did full-time ministry. But that doesn't happen very often. And I think for something like that to happen, first of all, you have to have the need. And that's a huge move, okay, a huge change. So it's something that you could see. But I pretty much marvel at Paul that he worked with these people. He had no qualms about it. That's just the way it was. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and Greeks. Imagine the stories he had when he came home. Okay. He did this on the Sabbath, but he worked throughout the week on the saddles. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia. Now remember Macedonia? That was north of this island, Chinchea, where Phoebe came from when she delivered it. The book of Romans to Rome. Okay. Well, when Silas and Timotheus came from Macedonia, and Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves, man, they were fighting from within and blasphemed. Whoa. It got really nasty. He shook his raiment, figure of speech, and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go into the Gentiles. We think we have it bad. Becky and I were talking this morning about something like this. And sometimes you have to make a decision. You know, you've had enough. There's a German expression for that. And actually, my German teacher had never even heard it. But it's from Bavaria, and it's called Mir Rex. And it just means I've had it up to here. I tried to get her to come up with the proper, like, well, what, how would you say I've had it? And she says, I nase full, you know, I've had it up to my nose. Something that's not as colloquial. But Mir Rex, that's what comes to my mind. Paul just had it. Now, have you ever just had it with something? Well, sure. Sometimes you just need to draw the line and say, that's it. It's time. You just have to draw the line. Quit thinking of yourself as being ill-equipped to do that. If you have to draw the line, you draw the line. Paul did. This was a paramount decision. All kinds of things were tugging on his heart. I mean, he was a Jew. Then he became a Christian. But he wanted to serve the Jewish cause. That was his life. So I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. These were magnificent examples of God's word simply invading and taking over society. Remarkable. It took somebody to speak to these guys, but it also took somebody to believe. Now, maybe you're the one that's doing all the speaking, and maybe there's no believers yet. I don't know. But Paul finally said, I had enough with you guys who aren't believing. I'm going to go find somebody contrary to the normal way of doing things that will believe. And he did. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. That's really cool. And that was Paul's job. I wonder if he made saddles that whole time. I bet he did. Because there weren't a lot of believers. He had to work to earn money. And then he moved the word. He taught the word for a long time, establishing it in that area. And then, I'll skip to verse 18. And Paul tarried there yet a good while, certain days, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria. Can you imagine a Christian sailing into Syria today? And with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. So Aquila and Priscilla were sticking with him. Just use these guys as touchstones. They were right there in the thick of it all. And if you take the time today to read verses 12 through 17, you'll see some of the conflict that he was involved in. Aside from the fact that the Jews wouldn't even listen to him, it was very intense. Okay. Well, verse 19, and he came to Ephesus and left them there. Who's them? Aquila and Priscilla. He left them there. He had more business to do elsewhere, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And so there they were, and they were busy, 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 busy moving the word. And so when you see, you can go back to Romans 16 now. When you see in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. He spent years with them. He worked with them. He shared his life with them, his pains, his sadnesses, his sorrows, his joys, his successes. He shared everything. They were the key players in his life. Remarkable people. If we're going to use these people as touchstones, we might want to start thinking how we could become remarkable. That's why this information's there. What can you do to become a remarkable Christian? To live a life of service, really helping the move of the word. So greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now you know what it means. All the churches of the Gentiles. Remember, he turned to the Gentiles then. He goes, forget you guys. Mirex, I've had enough. Nase full, up to my nose. Now I'm going over to the Gentiles. And he did too. And then he stayed with those guys a year and a half. And even longer, it says, after that, so that the word could become established. Aquila and Priscilla were part of his life throughout that entire time. Absolutely fabulous. They fed him. They took care of him. They made sure he had clothes. He was just like one of their kids. I mean, he slept in their house. Everything. Just absolutely everything. No questions asked. Because they had a greater goal in mind than just living in this world. It was far greater than that. It was a lofty goal. It was an exemplary goal. They reported to a higher authority, and they three together did this. They were in unity. That's how they did it. When you get like-minded with certain people on certain things, you can really accomplish a lot. Becoming like-minded is not the easiest thing in the world. But if you have a common purpose with a common set of rules, the Bible, you can definitely do it. The trouble comes in when people have their own goals, their own priorities, and they don't leave any space for God. They don't leave any space for the Christian lifestyle of service. Well, these people were not like that. They must have been fabulous to rub shoulders with. It must have been an exhilarating experience because of the caliber of believing that these guys manifested. Verse 5, likewise greet the church that is in their house. They had a church in their house in Rome. Well, apparently they had moved. I don't know. Because they had come from Italy, then they went to Cenchrea, and now he's writing to Rome. That's the book of Romans. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So they must have had quite a fellowship. I would almost venture to think that Paul knew those people. Well, he knew Aquila and Priscilla, and maybe some of them went with him. I don't know. Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. This guy had been around a long time. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. I want you to again reflect on these people as being the touchstones of Christian service. Mary bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles. They are of note. Wonder what they did, but they must have done something, and a lot of something, for a while, who also were in Christ before me. Oh my gosh, they were around a long time, even before Paul. Greet Amphias, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. You know, Paul, he knew these people. He just didn't know their names. I mean, he knew them. Wow. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. That's blood. That's family. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Once again, the touchstones of Christian service. These guys weren't wimps. They worked. You know, they didn't have the privilege of living as long a life as we do. We live a lot longer. You know, I think by the time these guys were my age, might have been pretty tough to want to do anything, you know. Much less 80 years old, 90 years old, like people live today. But these guys worked in the Lord. Now, they had their jobs, they had their families, they had all their life out there, they had to deal with all the Roman nonsense and the pagan stuff all around them all the time, but they worked hard in the Lord. You have to ask yourself touchstone questions. How hard do I work in the Lord? How much do I serve in Christ? What do I do that compares to this? Anything at all? A little bit? A lot? You see, if you really want to become more service-minded, you have to, number one, have a touchstone, but then you also need to carve out the time. You have to take your plate and slice it and spread it and give it your life some room for this kind of stuff. That's the way it works. It sounds very exciting to adopt ways of service.
Ways?
Because these people lived fabulous lives. Oh, they had plenty of conflict, no doubt. Imagine all the pagan gods all around them and then the Roman rulers. They were all nuts. And by this time, I think it had already been burned. I mean, oh, it's just crazy stuff. They'd burned the synagogue or the temple by now, or pretty close to then. I mean, it was just crazy back then. And yet they served, they lived. The same verses that we use, they believed. The triumphant life in Christ, the more than abundant life, super Christian conqueror, a super peculiar or abundant people. All these things applied to them too. Well, don't you think they wanted them? Their idea of getting them was service. Because that's when God really doled it out. It's just like with the Levites, the Levitical priesthood. Those guys reaped. They were amazingly blessed by God. They were the ones that served in the temple, the Levites, the Levitical priesthood. And God took care of them in every way. They always got to take the food from the offerings, and they were lodged, they were clothed in the finest garments with the finest colors. Unbelievable stuff. Okay. They served. Those who serve tend to be more blessed than those who don't. And I would think exceedingly more blessed. I think if you did a little research project on it, you'd see that for sure you're completely taken care of. Well, we're given these touchstones to try to encourage us to continue in this legacy. Verse 13, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Oh my gosh, I think we've got some family lines here with Paul. That's neat, isn't it? He wasn't just some saint statued in a corner somewhere. This guy was a real man with real family and real love and real connections with people. And his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Philegon, Hermas, Petrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus, and Julia, and Nerus, and his sister, and Olympus. I wonder if he ever took his sister out. I don't know. But he said he could. And Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Isn't that wonderful? What great touchstones. You want to know what they had to deal with, though. And he didn't mince any words. He said, verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. There were plenty of people around that were teaching false doctrine. They would just come in the fellowships. They'd come knocking on somebody's door. Oh, you know, you don't really believe that, do you? Well, here's what we found out. You need to change what you're saying to this now. Paul said, whoa, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Mark them. Paul wasn't about to change the revelation he received from God, which is the book of Romans, among the rest of them, of course. These are the words of God that we follow, not what other people think, but these words. Verse 18, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." We've all seen it. People coming in and doing that kind of stuff. It's amazing. It's just amazing. But you know, we're a pretty tough lot. And I'm proud of you guys for standing on the word. Because you know that this is God's word. And you know that you're not going to let somebody talk you out of it. Because you report to a higher authority. You have a greater goal in mind than just living in this world. You want to serve with God and Christ and His people. That's why you can attach yourself to the Bible and let it be your only rule of faith and practice. The moment you step away from this and into man's opinions and such, that's when you risk losing it all. Because it's those who live a life of service that really attach themselves, like these people are touchstones of service did. They're the ones that really are blessed. I'm convinced of it. "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all." I guarantee you there's people all over the place that know about us here. Now, it's not as remarkable as what these guys did, but it's remarkable because people know that when they call, they're going to hear the same voices, they're going to hear the same words that they did decades ago. They just know that. "I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." And the way I describe that to you many times, hey guys, it's black and white. Okay? That's a pretty simple way to look at it. "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." He's going to utterly destroy, is what it means. Satan, shortly. And it's going to happen. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Amen. Timotheus, my work fellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsman, salute you. I, Tortellus, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." It's kind of neat to reflect on that, isn't it? So see what works in your heart. Don't ever run away from this, though. Run to it. That's when it gets even better. Okay? A life of service. They are our touchstones.